You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really need a word, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give you information, asking for a word.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I am your host, Dave Hodges, and I'll be with you for the next 3 hours with a variety of quality guests. And this is going to be let's put it this way, it's going to be a very interesting program. But in parts of tonight's show, could be kind of grim. So I'm just warning you ahead of time. I want to get the kids out of the room. We're going to be joined here in the first hour momentarily by famed economist and owner of the website and the great publication Straight Money Analysis on straightmoneyanalysis.com. And, of course, I'm talking about Joseph Meyer. In the second hour, we're going to be joined by my good friend Robert Griswold, and we're going to be talking about a number of things. We're going to dovetail on what Joe is going to talk about with regard to water issues. And they're coming, folks. They're coming big time, and they're coming quickly. And then we're going to very quickly with Bob follow up on how you should best prevent being a victim in the terrorist type of attacks that we saw in Paris on Friday the 13th. And then, of course, in the third hour, we'll be joined by Katie Whalen, and she'll be bringing us the latest in health news. And at the bottom of that hour, in the third hour, we'll be joined by my good friend and broadcast partner on TalkNetwork.com, Mike Adams' new network. And I'm speaking, of course, about Jim White. And we're going to further unfold this tragedy across the pond, which I think is ready to ferment here. And I just want to make a couple of real quick comments about what happened in Paris. I have concluded, and so have many people close to me, this is no secret to many of you, this was indeed a false flag attack. You cannot have coordinated attacks with six different venues with the manpower, the communication, and the coordination it would take and bypass NSA scrutiny. Are you kidding me? That is impossible. It just doesn't happen. And then, of course, as we know, as we saw during 9/11, the London bombings, the 7/7, and I could go on and on and on, but there was a corresponding mass casualty drill going on in Paris at the time of the attacks. You know, of course, that was true also in the Boston Marathon bombing. How many times are they going to keep going to the same playbook? So no question, and in the bottom of the third hour with Jim White, we're going to be processing, you know, what's behind it, what they're going to gain. And, of course, Obama's now ramping up bringing in Syrians and other Middle Eastern Muslims into this country who are unscreened and unvetted. Enough on that. Let's go to my first guest, Joseph Meyer. He is no stranger to Common Sense Show listeners. Joe is one of the most respected economists out there. He's a high-demand guest, and we're just lucky enough to keep getting him to come on our show. And he's going to take a different twist tonight. Joe's going to be talking to us about the water industry, the business end of it. And let me just say this off the top, and Joe and I had shared a few words on this before we came on tonight. If terrorists would attack the water supplies in Paris, poison the rivers, attack the drinking water distribution centers, attack the infrastructure, in other words, that casualty rate would have been one heck of a lot higher. So you're going to want to pay attention to what we're talking about with water. Joe, thanks for joining us. I know it's getting late back there in the East Coast, and we appreciate you being with us, my friend.
Good evening, Dave. Thank you and the Common Sense Show for having me this evening. Always a pleasure to visit with you and your listening audience, Dave.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. It's all ours, and I never get anything but rave reviews when you're on. So, I mean, we do. And I know you'll talk about your website and, of course, see your newsletter. But first, let's jump right into the water issues. The global water industry is big business. So I'm just going to throw it to you and let you take it from there.
Well, currently the drinking water industry is about a $500 billion industry, Dave. It's projected to grow to about a $20 billion industry by the year of 2025. The World Water Organization estimates that water dependence will grow by about 58% in the decade ahead of us. Most people don't realize the bottled water industry is currently about a $100 billion a year industry, so this is big business, Dave.
Oh, no question. And, you know, I wrote on the water tragedies and crises around the world. I've written about it many times, but I've noticed that since I wrote about it, I think for the last time was about 3 years ago, Joe, the situation's become increasingly grave.
Well, I don't think people also realize that water is the third largest industry behind electricity and oil. Currently, we estimate we have about 1.1 billion people who do not have access to safe drinking water, which is roughly, as you know, Dave, about one-sixth of the world's population. It's estimated also that about 5.3 billion people, or two-thirds of the world's population, will suffer from some sort of water shortages by the year of 2025 also.
It's amazing. And when we, first of all, I don't even know if we're going to get to 2025, but I do think that the crisis, let's put it this way. I don't think we have to get into a situation where we're running out of water for it to be a crisis and for people to be adversely affected. So we've talked about the volume of the problem, the scope of the problem. Let's get into the first of all, review for me, Joe, the top three revenue areas that water profits come from. How are the globalists who control the water supplies, how are they making money?
Well, you know, the biggest problem, I've always said, when we talk about drinking water, and I think you'll concur, Dave, is contamination. You know, we've got more contaminated lakes and rivers and streams than most people can realize. It's become a big business. It's a business that's going to continue to grow. And as I've said many times, people take water and clean drinking water for granted. And I couldn't agree with you more. I think the day of reckoning is along the way where we no longer can do that.
Is there anything that our elected representatives should be doing, that, but they're not?
Well, you know, when you talk about water-related diseases, a lot of people lose sight, and I'm sure Katie will want to have something to say about this as well. But you've got water-related diseases, cholera, diarrhea, dysentery, typhoid fever, Salmonella E, O. coli infections, you've got hepatitis A and E, and lastly, you've got malaria. So water can do a lot more damage than contaminated food, and I think you touched on what recently took place in Paris, and had they affected the water supply there, I think it could have been a much worse disaster than it turned out to be.
I think there's absolutely no question. When we look at drinking water here in the United States, how much water do people use on a daily basis?
Well, you know, a lot of people lose sight of the fact that we've witnessed a 100% increase in our population in the U.S. just since 1950. Also during that period of time, Dave, we've witnessed water usage go up about 130% since 1950. You know, people also lose sight of the fact 70% of the world, as you know, is covered by water, but only 2.5% of that water is fresh water. So when you talk about usage around the world, in the United Kingdom, they use about 36 gallons a day. In the U.S., we use between 100 and 175 gallons a day. But in the developing world, the average person uses just 2.5 gallons of water per day. So we've got a population where 50% lack adequate sanitation with clean water, and as you know, we could save over 2 million lives a year without any further medical intervention if these people had clean, potable drinking water. It's a crisis.
And you're saying that we could save 2 million lives? Would
yes,
that be
could,
a glo- is that a global figure? Is that a global figure, Joe, or is that a domestic figure?
That would be a global figure. 2.2 million a year we could save at a minimum.
Well, I know that one of the leading causes of death for children in the third world is cholera and dysentery.
Yes, it is.
And it results directly from polluted water supplies.
Well, you know, another statistic, half of the world's hospital beds are filled by people suffering from water-related illnesses. The water sanitation crisis claims more lives through disease than any of the world wars, peacekeeping missions, police actions, or low-intensity conflicts. 80% of the diseases in the developing world are now caused by contaminated water, and it's worsening by the day.
Do you have any figures domestically on how imperiled our water supply is here in America?
Well, there isn't any question the water supply has been in trouble for quite some time. We've got half the world's 500 rivers, as you know. They're polluted and seriously depleted. And we also have, in the U.S., 30,000 groundwater sites that are now contaminated. And in the U.S., 20% of the freshwater fish species have been pushed to the point of extinction due to contaminated water. It's a crisis few people understand.
How many was it the groundwater supplies you said are polluted?
We've got 30,000 groundwater sites that are now contaminated.
Then I heard that correctly. I mean, I did a double take on that, Joe. 30,000.
Yes.
That's staggering.
Yes, it is.
And that figure that you cited about half of the hospital bed occupancies are due to water-related issues.
Yes, they are.
Is that again a global figure? And if it is, do you have a domestic figure for the United States?
I would think it's probably a third of that. Be a guess on my part. I didn't research that point, but a guess I would say about one third.
Well, let's say your guess is accurate. So we start projecting this out. So 17% of hospital stays are due to faulty water. Then you know, since Obama is supposedly so worried about cutting medical costs, why isn't this become a national priority? Why aren't we redoing our infrastructure, enacting strict environmental laws so we can't pollute our water supply?
Good question. I don't have the answer to that, but I agree with you wholeheartedly. It should be a priority.
Well, you know, one of the things that concerns me is that I've been reading this a lot. I've been reading this now for about 15 years, Joe, that when people want to go off Prozac early or their bipolar medication or some other antipsychotic medication, what they do typically is pour the pills down the toilet. And my understanding is the water filtration systems can't get these substances, these chemical compounds, out of the water. So we're ingesting mental health medication across the board. What do you know about that?
Not surprised to hear that, and I think it's a very distinct possibility, and I think it's something we all should be concerned with.
It's amazing. It's just staggering how many different ways this come. Now, you mentioned that cost is accelerating at a rapid rate. Does that have anything to do with the fact that rather than drinking water as we used to, many more of us are now, we're just relying on bottled water, and bottled water is as much as 50 to 100 times more expensive than tap water.
Yes, it is. Currently, bottled water is a $100 billion a year industry. Most people would not want to believe that it's grown to that size, but it's growing every day, and I think it's going to get even bigger. You know, even bottled water, you really don't know how pure it is. You don't know with absolute certainty what contaminants could even be in bottled water. You just don't know.
Well, let me bring Katie into this. Katie, I want to bring you into the discussion for a moment. How many ounces of water are people supposed to consume a day?
Well, they say rule of thumb, eight-ounce glasses or 64 ounces. I don't know if that's enough, Dave, but that's basically what I've heard over the years. Maybe Katie can enlighten us further on that, because that may not be accurate.
Well, I think that's the general. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can, Katie.
Yeah, that's the general, is eight glasses of water a day. But what really should be consumed is half one's body weight in water would
yes.
be a healthy start. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, most people, Katie, don't realize the human body is made up of 60% water.
Oh, I think it's more than that, but yeah, they don't realize that it's not made up of 70 or 80% Coke or Pepsi or or Monster. It's
beer.
Water. And actually, beer, thank you.
Bud Light,
beer,
yeah.
Yeah, Bud Light. But your body has to work that much harder to process the Coke and the Pepsi, whereas water is a wonderful thing. It flushes. It's so necessary. So, yeah, if we have water problems, we have big problems. I was going to ask you, what are these aquifers contaminated with that you were talking about, the 30,000, did you say aquifers or underground water systems?
Well, when we talk about the 30,000 groundwater sites, they're contaminated with many different contaminants, numerous contaminants, Katie. That's the problem. That water cannot be used under any circumstances.
Like radiation, or is there any stats on what it's infected with?
That's the problem. At this point, we don't even know the extent of the contaminants in this water, but we do know it's unsafe to drink under any circumstances.
I do have a partial answer to that. What we're seeing is America under assault in our environmental ecosystem, what we call the transpirational cycle. First, the most obvious is Fukushima with the radiation that has come across into the lower 48.
Absolutely.
And what we have now is the United States government is not even measuring the radiation levels anymore because they don't want the public to know how much danger we're in. Well,
right.
If radiation comes in, it settles on crops, it settles in what animals consume, and so you've got this vicious cycle. And then, of course, it rains radiation, and then it evaporates radiation back up into the clouds, and this becomes part of the transpirational cycle. And then I have covered this on the show before, Joe in the Gulf, I've covered this extensively. When President Obama and the FDA gave in and allowed Nalco and British Petroleum and Goldman Sachs, all partners on this, to use Corexit to treat the oil, which it didn't treat, it just simply buried it in the water column. But when they allowed that to happen, then Corexit, which is banned in 17 countries, became part of the transpirational cycle, and now we're consuming it in our food, in our water, in our dairy products. And this is undeniable. Researchers like Kim Anderson from Ohio State, Wilma Subra from Tulane University have all noted this and have all done studies on this. And Joe, I'm going to give you a figure, and I'll shut up and let you comment. Because it's embedded in the transpirational cycle, Wilma Subra did some spot analysis of people, and she measured benzene levels in their blood. She said this would be a marker for Corexit and oil contamination, and she found that many people had 65 times the expected level of benzenes in their system. So, Katie, kind of a long, drawn-out answer, and I apologize, guys, but to me, this is the extent of the contamination, and then there's all the other sources, industrial and so forth.
Well, you know, to go one step further, rainwater is not even safe to drink. Years ago, people used to drink rainwater. I wouldn't dream of drinking rainwater, Dave.
Well, you're not going to have to worry much longer, Joe, because the Agenda 21 policy is being adopted by many states such as Colorado and California and Oregon and Washington. Make it illegal to trap rainwater in any form for any use, including agricultural.
I didn't know
so,
that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's been in Colorado now for about 5 years. I'm going to ask you a question here. This may even take us beyond the break, but the business end of things. One of the things that I know is going on in Colorado is water plant number one, water treatment plant number one, is trying to buy up water treatment plant number two. So then when one and two combine and become this monolithic organization, then they reach out and try to buy up three, four, and five. In other words, in places like Colorado, where Agenda 21 has made a significant imprint, what we're seeing is the consolidation of the control of water in some of our states. Are you aware of that?
I'm aware of it, but I didn't think it was accelerating at the rate you've just explained, Dave. Quite frankly, I didn't realize that.
Well, they hide it. Joe,
yes.
you know, you remember the old Rockefeller days and how they'd use shell corporations to make acquisitions, and so it would basically, you know, conceal how much power.
Disguise the ownership.
There you go. Exactly. And this is what's going on in places like Colorado.
I'm not surprised to hear any of these things. I'm really not.
Well, Katie, let's bring you into this again. I know this is a little bit outside the health domain, but you live in Colorado. How much of this are you aware of?
You know, they're keeping all this under the radar unless you're listening to alternative media. I'm not seeing any of this in the news. I'm not hearing about it anywhere. Agenda 21 is just a stealth cancer that's creeping in. And they do it so slowly you don't understand it. But there's not a lot of information going out that I'm aware of. If there is, please somebody share it with me.
Exactly. Well, Joe, one of the things you talked about, and I know this will definitely take us past the break.
Okay.
But what percentage of the world's population lacks adequate sanitation for their water supplies? Let's get that figure out in the open and then try to translate it domestically.
Well, you know, first of all, as I've said to you many times in shows we've done, that the world is changing and changing now very radically, and I fully expect the changes to accelerate. But water in some countries, and I know you're aware of this, Dave, costs more than food, and it's not unusual to see families spend over 25% of their disposable income on water and water alone. So it is something that's very expensive in a lot of countries. It is something that's in very short supply. And we're looking now, I think, at a crisis globally that's going to continue to worsen. But more importantly, let me tell you something quickly that I know you're probably aware of, but let me share with your listening audience. I did the research. There's 10 states facing a drinking water crisis in the years ahead of us, and in some states the crisis is underway. And I'd like to name the cities and name the states for your listening audience, Dave.
Well, let's hold it right there until we
okay.
come back. And because this is going to be very interesting. Folks, press your ear to the transistor because things are about to get really lively, because I hope it's not true, but I'm sure some of you are going to hear your community mentioned, certainly your state, 10 states. And I have to tell you, here living north of Phoenix, we hear this all the time. I mean, I don't know if Arizona's on Joe's list. We're going to find out when we come back after a word from our sponsors. Have you made your plans to attend Hear the Watchman Conference of 2016? It's going to be held in Dallas, Texas, March 18th through March 20th. For more information, go to hearthewatchman.com. And our presenters, the MCs, are going to be our good friends of the Common Sense Show, been great friends to us, Doug and Joe Hagman of the Hagman and Hagman Report, and of course Dr. Ted Brower, who was a guest on here last week and set the show on fire, and he has his own program that airs right before this show. He's going to be there, Nathan Liao, Pastor David Langford, Coach Dave. Folks, it doesn't get any better than this. Jeannie and Mike have put together a wonderful conference. It's unique. You're going to have time to interact with people. There's going to be discussion panels. There's going to be singular presentations. And you'll want to follow the updates. And, of course, you're going to want to make plans to attend all reasonable rates, Dallas, Texas, March 18th through the 20th, 2016, and go to hearthewatchman.com and reserve your place. Well, I also want to talk to you about my good friend Bob Griswold, and he's going to be on in the next hour, and we're going to be talking about adaptive abilities in the face of a terrorist attack. And Bob's website is readymaderesources.com, and he has everything under the sun and more if you want to get ready for tough times ahead. Everything from Berkey water filters, how timely is that, shower filters. He has a wellness bucket, portable power generators. I could go on and on. My favorite, as you know, because I've pushed this hard, is his night vision, and we'll talk about that a little bit when he's on. But you really want to go there and see what he has, because there's something for everybody. And I think now, in light of the current events going on in the world and here domestically, you can't be too prepared. Call Bob tomorrow at 1-800-627-3809. Again, that's 1-800-627-3809, readymaderesources.com. And, of course, our final ad for this segment, but certainly not our least important, is the fact that when the currency does go down, and we've heard Joe talk about this numerous times on this show, that you need to remember that if you can't touch it, you don't own it. And, of course, I'm referring to precious metals. We're talking about gold. And you need to talk to Steve Quayle. He'll listen to what your economic situation is. He'll make recommendations for you. He's good at working with budgets. And, of course, he's a man of uncompromising integrity and honesty. And you can reach Steve tomorrow in his office at 406-586-4842. Again, that's 406-586-4842. And just a reminder, our upcoming segment for survival food, your best survival food, is going to be sponsored by foodforliberty.com/Hodges. Well, our special guest is Joe Meyer, and I should have a drum roll right here, but we'll just get right to it. Joe, before the break, mentioned he has a list of communities and states that are facing serious water crises. So, Joe, let us have it.
All right, number one, Los Angeles, California. Number two would be Houston, Texas. Number three, Dave, San Francisco Bay Area. Number four, San Antonio, Texas. Number five, El Paso, Texas. Number six, Washington, D.C. Number seven, Atlanta, Georgia. Number eight, Miami, Florida. Number nine, Cleveland, Ohio. Number 10, Lincoln, Nebraska. And number 11, Phoenix, Arizona.
Ooh. You knew you were going to get to me. I live about 25 miles north of Metropolitan Phoenix, northwest Metropolitan Phoenix. But we're getting the propaganda every day in our Gannett-owned propaganda newspaper, where every day we have a water crisis, water crisis, water crisis, got to pay more, got to conserve more. Joe, what are these communities going to see? The government's obviously prepping to step in. They're psychologically conditioning the people through the media. What's going to happen?
Well, you know, when you look at the problem, honestly, we waste so much water, Dave. We're all guilty of wasting water. Some waste certainly a lot more than others, but we've wasted so much water over the years. You know, I call drinking water blue gold, because I think that's exactly what it is, and I think at some point it's going to become extremely valuable and extremely scarce. You know, to get back to your question earlier, when you talked about how bad is the crisis globally when we talk about water, per the United Nations recently, Dave, they stated we have 1 billion people globally who do not have access to water, with 2.2 million people not even having basic sanitation. So we're not only talking about a global problem, we're talking about a domestic problem as well, and we're talking about a problem that over the next several years, if it even takes that long, is going to become, in my humble opinion, catastrophic.
When will we see the cracks? I mean, how will they show up in society when the things start to unravel?
Well, I think we're starting to see it already, just in the cost of water. Water is going up, and it's going up very rapidly. And again, we get back to just how much we waste. You know, I did some research on how much water, a side of drinking water, is used on the nation's golf courses. And I think you'd be surprised. Do you know how many golf courses we have in America, Dave?
No, but I should, because I golf.
We have 20,000 golf courses in America. Do you know how much water they use per day? Take a guess.
Well, okay, well, I'll go with a large 18-hole country club courses, and I would have to say I have no idea.
2 billion gallons a day.
Oh my gosh. And how does that compare to our national consumption per day?
Well, I got to tell you one thing, it's an awful lot of water that's going out to certainly water greens and fairways, and a lot of that water is coming out of lakes and reservoirs. So, you know, it's expensive water, it's water that's being used, and you got to question if it's being used to its highest use. But to answer the other question, I don't have the faintest idea, honestly, Dave. I really don't know.
Okay, note to Katie.
Yeah.
Katie, just a second. Why don't you research that for us? I'll move on with this. We'll come back and find out what's the total expenditure of water on a daily per capita basis. But we're, 2 billion gallons?
2 billion gallons a day. 20,000 golf courses in America.
My community is a huge offender because we play golf here roughly every day of the year.
Yes.
We don't have a winter season here.
I did a little research when you guys were talking, and Joseph, you said something about, or Dave, you asked me about water in Colorado. So I just pulled something up, and it said, it's Colorado to unveil their first ever water plan to Governor Hickenlooper next week. So I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, the whole article is this beautifully sanitized article from the Denver Business Journal, and it basically talks about conservation, conservation, conservation. And I'm thinking to myself, we have heard drought, drought, drought for years in this state. Last winter, we had an average snowfall. We had torrential rains. We had one of the greenest springs around. And they keep pushing this conservation. We're not going to have enough. What is that? Is that bogus, Joseph, from your understanding, or are these droughts real? What's going on here?
I think the droughts are real, but I think when you take a look at globally, the climates of the world are changing, and they're changing very, very radically, and I think we're seeing that, we're witnessing that here in the U.S. as well. You know, parts of the United States have been extremely dry. We've had flooding in other parts of the nation as well. So I think to answer your question, Katie, it depends on the given area in which you're looking.
Well, that's what I'm thinking here. I think where they can fool the people, they're pushing a conservation agenda, whether it's necessary or not. And personally, I can't imagine we're having a conservation problem in Colorado, but it's part of the water plan that's coming up right now. So there you go.
Well, they are trying to, they being the powers that be, and Katie, your governor is involved in this as well as the Front Range
mm-hmm.
mayors. From
mm-hmm.
Fort Collins all the way to Pueblo, they're all involved. They are preventing farmers from reusing water, irrigated water. They're calling it a water shortage is the reason why. Yeah, they'll turn around at the state level and waste water left and right. Well, Joe, let's go back to what you said about we waste water. I want to bring a different problem into this equation. It was 5 years ago, Jesse Ventura did a really interesting show on his TV show, Conspiracy Theory, and I investigated his claims, and Jesse's account was right on the money. Companies like Nestle are stealing water from the United States. They're putting it in Sprague bags. They can't bottle it and put it aboard ships. That's illegal. But they're allowed to put it in Sprague bags, and they are taking it to foreign countries, and some of them are potential enemies. The biggest destination for this is China. Are you aware of this water depletion strategy for profit by Nestle?
Well, I'm not surprised that they're involved in it because, again, as I said earlier in the show, it's big business and it's big money, and water is a very valuable commodity in a lot of countries, and I think they understand the scarcity of it that we're all going to face as we move forward. But I didn't realize that they were actually transporting water over to China. That I didn't know, Dave, honestly.
Yeah, big, big Sprague bags. And, you know, note to self, I'm going to have to follow up on this and put it out there again in the public venue. When I wrote about this, my exposure out there in the media was much, much less than it is now. And I probably need to revisit this because this is an easy issue to document. Well, Joe, let me ask you this question.
Sure.
So we've got the developing world water situation growing up and going up in expense. Do you have any figures that tell us how much of someone's disposable income, or let's just say their gross income, how much of their gross income is tied up in water expenditures today?
Well, I think in some parts of the world, it's between 25% and 40% of their earnings go out just to be able to buy safe, potable drinking water. I think here in the United States, again, we get back to bottled water being a big business, but aside of that, water unbalance, I think when you take a look at, you know, how much we use and certainly its availability, it's still pretty cheap, Dave. But, you know, I did some research going back some time ago where I outlined for my subscribers in the newsletter three high-quality drinking water companies that I felt would continue to grow and continue to increase their market share and represented, I felt, on a long-term basis, extraordinary value. And I think drinking water is certainly a way for most people to invest in these companies and participate in the shortages you and I believe are ahead of us as well.
My, oh my. Well, I'm sure you're making recommendations for investment.
Well, I did the research on the companies, and I did mention them in a past issue of the newsletter, and I said to people, perform your own due diligence, but these are the three leadership companies in this sector of the market that I believe are certainly worthy of consideration and or possible investment, so we did mention them. I also mentioned two very high-quality water mutual funds that I thought small investors could look at as well, to be part of the water sector on a small basis if that was the way that they could only become part of it. But if anyone becomes a subscriber to the newsletter, I'll also include as a bonus that past issue of the newsletter where we've outlined the drinking water crisis and, more importantly, how best, if someone decides to become part of it, to invest in it, Dave. We will give that to your listening audience as well.
So if you can't beat them, we got to join them if we want to make money off of this process. And it's just positioning yourself to be in the right place, right time. That's a very generous offer. Well, let's take a time out just for a second, Joe.
Sure.
Let's talk about your newsletter, your website, how people can follow you and get a copy of that great newsletter.
Well, I'm in the process now of completing the December 2015 issue of the newsletter. It's going to contain a lot of vital information and facts that I think people have to be aware of as we come into year-end and, more importantly, into early 2016. The newsletter, as you know, Dave, is a quarterly newsletter. You know, people can sign up for it by going to the straightmoneyanalysis.com website. A one-year subscription is $259.95 a year. Six-month subscription, $149.95 a year. And anybody has any questions on anything we write about in the newsletter, they can always feel free to give me a call. And we also have a full sample issue of the newsletter people can look at to give them a better understanding of what they can expect to receive if they so decide to become a subscriber to the newsletter.
Well, some people say, oh my gosh, it's over $100, but let me just put it in perspective. One good deal arising from following the advice that you offer on your newsletter, that all of a sudden becomes a great investment in your future.
Well, you know, as you've said many times, Dave, there's not another more comprehensive newsletter like this in the country. We really write about the things that matter. We tell you why they matter, and we tell you, lastly and more importantly, what you can and should be doing about them.
That's why you're such a high-demand guest, Joe, but you already know that. I want to go back to something you said a few moments ago because
okay.
I didn't get a chance to comment because we took a side turn. But we asked about the relative expense for, you know, their people's gross incomes and how much they can spend on water. And you quoted the figure 25 to 40%.
That's what's spent in a lot of the developing world countries currently right now, Dave. Between 25 to 40% of their disposable income is just spent on potable, safe drinking water.
Well, that's almost a car, 25%, maybe even less, maybe that's more. But it's almost a house.
Well,
40%?
Water in a lot of these countries, as I said earlier, is more expensive than food in these developing countries all over the world.
But it's not that when you buy a home, you want to be around that 40% figure.
Right.
And we're looking here that if you're spending that on water, you know, that money is going to run out very quickly because you know, you got food, you got water, and most of your income is gone. So what about housing and transportation and medical care You get the idea. You see where I'm going with this. I mean, this is crippling to a population to have water amounts at this level. Are we going to see this in the United States?
Well, I think at some point we're going to see shortages of drinking water in the United States, and I think due to those shortages, we're going to see drinking water become very expensive. You know, hopefully we don't get to that point, but, you know, looking at how much contamination we have in our rivers, streams, and lakes and ponds, I don't think you can rule it out.
I know a guy, and his name will stay private. He is in the process of selling a golf course. And I asked him why. Why are you selling? You got a beautiful golf course. He said, because of people like you, Dave Hodges, because you've written about Agenda 21 and the coming hoarding of water. And he referenced an article I wrote on T. Boone Pickens and how he's trying to buy up the Ogallala Water Reservoir, which is the largest underground water source in the country. And he said he sees the writing on the wall. He said, there's going to come a day, if you don't have enough water to drink, the government's going to come and shut me down, and I'll be out of business. Interesting perspective.
Well, I think it's not only an interesting perspective, I think it's a very accurate assessment of where we're headed.
Yeah, and I asked him where he got the bright idea. I said, come on, you didn't get all this from reading my articles. He said, reading your articles actually took me to my financial advisor, and he told me, he said, that would probably be a pretty good move right now. And he said pretty much to him, what you're telling our listening audience, that you need to position yourself where you could make money on water stocks and mutual funds and so forth. And so he's in the process of doing that as well. So I wanted to throw that in. I know somebody who right now could be on the Joe Meyer poster child list for what you're advising people to do. It's just, it's frightening. I mean, people aren't going to be able to water their lawns, you know, much less play golf. Forget the golf.
Well, you know, recently the World Water Organization came out with an estimate, and they say water dependence will grow by 56% in the decade ahead of us here in the U.S. 56% in 10 years, Dave.
Yeah, and the government's making it worse, and so we got you to tell you about the economy, and you got me to tell you about the politics. We've got the Rivers Navigation Act, and I'm paraphrasing that title. But if you have an accumulation of water on your land, doesn't matter if it's rain runoff, doesn't matter if you've got a stream, doesn't matter if you have a lake, the EPA can come on your land and say, oh, you got water here, we need to preserve it, and you can't use your land for anything. And if people think I'm full of it on this, ask the people in Northern California and Southern Oregon, where they're looking to actually try to leave their respective states and form the state of Jefferson. In fact, you can go to the Joe, people could go to my website at thecommonsenseshow.com, go to the search engine and put in state of Jefferson, and they'll read all about these practices.
Well, you know, I've said many times, it's what you think you know that you find out you don't know that can hurt you. You know, people don't realize, Dave, we now have 80% of the diseases in the developing world are now caused by contaminated water. 80%.
Wow.
What does that say?
It says we're in a world of hurt.
Absolutely. We're in a changing world that's changing, and as you and I, again, have said many times, it's not changing for the better, and quite frankly, it's worsening a lot faster than you and I would have ever believed. And unless you have a plan to deal with the eventualities coming down the road, I wish you good luck.
You know, I was going to mention something about that. It's a double-edged sword, because Dave was mentioning how they're cracking down on confiscating people's water. There was a farmer up in Wyoming who built this beautiful pond, and the APA basically broke him of his ranch trying to fight his ability to have this pond. But something else, Joseph is and Dave, they're really pushing us away from independence. I mean, say you wanted, you know, we're going to have a prepper on next. But say you wanted to store your own water or come up with equipment to filter your own water and be independent. You can't do that because they're now shutting people down who want to go off grid. So they've got you trapped, kind of.
Well, I think we're living in a time that's becoming very interesting, to say the least, by the day. And I think it comes back to what we can do versus what we're unable to. And I think, Katie and Dave, there's a lot of things we can do, and I think we've got to focus on what we can do and not put any time into worrying about the things we can't change and certainly the things we're unable to do. And I think we got to focus on the priorities, and I think drinking water is certainly one of them, and I think it's one of them that's going to become very, very critical in the years ahead of us, and we have to be aware of that now.
Mm-hmm. Well, what would you recommend? If you put on your leadership hat and you'd say, okay, America, this is what we need to be doing.
Well, I think we've got to look towards the immediate problems, and I think drinking water is certainly an immediate problem. I think these chemtrails are immediate problems. I think the pesticides, as you've talked about many times, in our food supply is another. And money is being made off these things and will continue to be made off them because it's highly profitable to be involved in the things that are going on. But I think when we talk about drinking water, I think there is a way to invest in the industry. I think a way to invest in it wisely and prudently, and I think take advantage of the higher drinking water prices we're going to have in the years ahead. And I think these crises are going to unfold, and, you know, whether we like it or not, it's a process that's well underway. And if there's an opportunity to make money from it, I think we should certainly take advantage of it. What do you think, Dave?
Well, I think you're right on the money. I mean, I really believe in preparation, and I also believe, you know, that you got to go with what's winning. And what's winning right now, you know, these prices are skyrocketing, so why not position yourself to make money off of it, because you're going to turn around and put it back into your own water supply anyway.
Well, people have to take advantage of the research and analysis I do. Yes, the newsletter is not cheap, but I do the work for you. You know, I do the work for you. I stand behind the research because I'm the guy that's doing it. And I'm telling you where opportunities are. At the end of the day, it's up to you to take advantage of them if you so decide you want to be part of what I write about in the newsletter.
Is there a political or infrastructure solution that you wished we would employ that would be practical?
Well, you know, we all wish we could turn the clock back, and I know you'll agree, and go back to the 1960s, but that's not going to happen. I think there's a lot of things we're not going to be able to turn back, but I think there's a lot of things we can change and we should want to change, and I think it takes the ability to understand the problem. And as I've said many times, Dave, most people are either part of the solution or you're part of the problem. Which one are you?
That's a good point. That's a good point. This is where we need to start not just thinking about our own selfish interests, but that of our community, and act accordingly. But boy, life could change so dramatically.
Yes,
I mean, I could see with what you're describing, 56% increase, Joe, that you cited here in terms of water usage over the next decade. I could see the government stepping in, said no lawns, certainly no golf courses. You're not going to probably be able to water your trees. Gardens might be out, so, you know, food self-sufficiency will be affected. I mean,
well,
this,
you know,
is
we've already seen
everywhere.
It in Florida. We've had a drought in Florida. We haven't had it recently, but going back over the years, you weren't allowed to water your lawn, you weren't allowed to wash your car, you weren't allowed to use water in any way that wasn't deemed necessary. And when you could water your lawn, we had odd and even days on the block in which you could turn on the sprinkler system. So we've already had a taste of it here in Florida, Dave.
Yeah, and I think it should serve as a bellwether for the rest of the country. Well, Joe, let's take a moment here again and tell people how they can follow your good work and subscribe to your newsletter in case someone just joined us.
Well, they go to the straightmoneyanalysis.com website. Again, there's a full issue of the newsletter under sample newsletter that people can certainly go ahead and download to see exactly what I write about and how I present the information in the newsletter. If you become a subscriber, you always have a right to call me and speak to me directly about anything or any topic I write about in the newsletter. It's an extraordinary value. Again, it's a one-of-a-kind newsletter, Dave. I usually write 25 to 30 pages, as you know, per issue. We write about the economy, the stock and bond markets, gold and silver, oil and natural gas, and I write very extensively, again, as you know, in every issue on Fed monetary policy. It's a great value, Dave. People should take advantage of it.
Well, I know it's a great value, and of course you're offering that past issue of your water analysis if people subscribe to your newsletter.
Give them that as a bonus, and it'll outline a lot of the points in greater detail that you and I discussed this evening on the drinking water crisis that's ahead of us, and it'll also give the names of the stocks and the mutual funds that people can certainly look towards if they want to so become part of this industry, which I think on balance for a lot of people they should strongly consider.
Absolutely. Good words of advice. Joe, thanks for joining us. It's always great when you come on, and I'm looking forward to our next visit when you come back on the Common Sense Show.
Dave, I want to thank you so much, as always, for having me on the Common Sense Show. It was a pleasure to once again visit with you and your listening audience. Best wishes to you as well, Katie. Thanks for the visit.
Thank you, Joe. Wow.
Goodbye, Joseph. Thank you.
Well, Katie, we got just about we got less than a minute before the break, and I wanted to just reiterate, you know, where we're going. Certainly, people are having a sense of urgency right now with what's going on in Paris and what it could mean for the United States. And is there anything that you can do at all as an individual to lessen your chances of being a victim? And it's kind of interesting because, Katie, you know, my own wife said something to me night before last about no matter where we go, we need to be aware of our surroundings. And she started citing a bunch of things. I go, wow, you really are paying attention. Because when I walk away from the microphone and I interact with my family, I try not to bring these things with me. I'd like to try to maintain as much normalcy as possible while we prep. But when my wife just out of the woodwork says something like this, this is in the forefront of everyone's mind, and I promise you, when Bob Griswold's come on, you're going to be white-knuckling it through this interview, because Bob and I talked about the direction of the interview this afternoon, and it gave me goosebumps. It's frightening, Katie, what's coming into this country.
That was good advice. Yeah, good advice from your wife. Excellent advice. They'll tell you that in any personal training class. Just know everything. Just, yeah, be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah, absolutely. And these school lockdown drills we're doing across the country, where you're herding people into confined spaces, those are kill zones.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute
yeah.
kill zones. And we'll explore that with Bob Griswold on the other side in hour number two. Our thanks again to Joseph Meyer for that most interesting report on water. And we will see you on the other side of this break.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.